Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want a president with a convertible and a hot wife to fire the head of the CIA or anything.
Yeah, no. That's... Greetings, loyal citizen of Super Earth. We are here to bring the gift of managed democracy to this sector. Dissemination of this podcast amongst your friends and loved ones is law, and deviation from this task will be considered treason. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, here to talk to you today about Helldivers 1 and 2. Mainly 1, honestly. It's where most of the lore came from. Who's joining me today?
Sir, yes, sir. Reporting from the creek, Sergeant Miller. Actually, Master Sergeant Miller.
Super cadet.
I got Master Sergeant right before.
I'm a super cadet.
Nice.
Hey, everybody. New recruit, level 7. Commander of the SES, Senator of Family Values, Peter O'Donoghue, reporting for duty, sir.
Wow. It's been a hot minute since we recorded a real episode before recording the Patreon bonus content. We're coming in colder than usual, maybe.
I'd say pretty hot on the topic. I picked up this game on Friday, and I've put in 20 hours, and we're Sunday evening.
Heroic, as usual, Jamie.
I was just vamping and covering for the fact that we did not pull up the new patrons. So shout out Mad Max, new patron. Old new patron. Hello.
Mad Max, welcome back.
Back after a long time, and good to see you.
Very good to have you back. If you guys want to get a shout out on the show, consider going to discord.gg/loreboys,
loreboys.
Yeah.
And request your topic there. Yeah, I have 7 hours, Jamie. I have a much more modest 7 hours since I bought it Friday afternoon.
I had the classic fell asleep at my desk last night, so I think I have a couple hours that were inflated because I woke up at me standing in my own ship, right, coming out from the defroster there.
I have 6.1 hours. I do have 75 hours in Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, apparently, but that's also the same thing where I just leave it open all day
while
I'm at work.
Yeah, I only have 13, so you're beating me by a long shot on that one.
And I have one achievement left, and it's just the spend 20,000 gold being a currency that you can only spend like in the runs. So it's
in
like
increments of like 30 at most.
Yeah, for the legendaries, you can spend 50. You know what I mean? So like you get 500 or so a run. I'm at like 15,000 out of 20,000. So I'm just kind of like chipping away at that. But that's not what we're talking about today. I will call out that this was going to be the Gundam episode, but it got bumped by the SEO gods for Helldivers.
Ripperoni, dude.
I was really excited to go into this one with none of us having played the game. And then, like Pete was saying, on Friday, Jamie was just like, oh, I'm buying Helldivers. And we all instantly caved and bought it as well.
Yeah, there were not even rubber arm. It was just the notion.
Yeah,
was just absolutely. Like, oh, yeah, I was like, I'll do it. 100%.
Yeah, if you're somehow like unaware or listening to this in the far future, Helldivers 2 was one of those games that it was already had a one and people knew it, but the second one just blew the fuck up. It was second on Steam charts for like concurrent players, now only beat by Counter-Strike 2, which is just like there's always like at least 10,000 Eastern Europeans playing that game. Helldivers 2 is, it blew the hell up. And all of my friends in every social circle, coming from the rugby team in my university, to my workmates, to my friends at home, to my other friend groups, like everyone is just playing this game. It blew the hell up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a small Steam friends list, admittedly, but it is like fully three quarters of my Steam friends list is like has time in Helldivers recently.
Yeah. At time of writing, it is 378,000 people in game on Steam.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's well deserved. It feels excellent. It feels polished, not super buggy for like a game that blew up this big with what I can only assume was a smaller dev team, because I didn't really hear much about it ahead of time. Very, very stable. Pete's Toaster runs it just fine. Yeah. And extremely fun, satisfying gameplay loops. All very, very good.
Hilarious also.
Yeah.
Very funny. Yeah.
We'll get into why it's very funny. I swore Pete and Jamie away from the wiki, so they don't know pretty much any of the lore going into this one. But it is a hoot and holler for sure.
I mean, keeping up with the cultural stuff. I know that at first the servers were completely overloaded because they didn't expect this. So they went from 450,000 cap to 700,000 cap, and they put a system in to kick AFK players. And I haven't had much trouble. I played after the fix.
I've never waited in a queue.
Okay.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Me neither. Him.
And I know Sony is like publishes it. So they had a smaller team, I think, Ethan, like you mentioned, but Sony are sending people in, and right now it's a delicate balance between, okay, we all know how to fix this shit and code this shit, and you're sending a bunch of new people. So right now they're like training new people while also trying to fix everything. I can only imagine it's like crunch time like crazy. And
internally at Sony, they're probably just like, we need to pull people off of a multiplayer team that we own that's working on someone no one gives a fuck about anymore. It's like, okay, Destiny 2 guys, you're Helldivers now.
Exactly. Okay, let's take the team from the fifth Last of Us remake and we'll put them on it.
Yeah. They're threading Abby's eyebrows and now they're just like, oh fuck no, now we gotta fix dad the Helldivers servers.
This was first requested by Woozy on the Lore Boys Discord. Again, if you want to make a request, you can head over there. There was a few others who requested it as well, but like Jamie was saying, it's blown up so hugely. We're all super into it right now. It would have felt wrong to not do a Helldivers episode this week.
Yes.
So let's start with, I just mentioned that I swore you guys away from knowing anything about the game, but why don't you tell me what you know about the game and if you know anything about the lore, I guess. And I guess the general vibe we can talk about of Super Earth and its loyal Helldiver core.
Yeah, Pete, if you want to go first, I'll fill in the gaps after.
Sure, yeah, because I have a couple impressions, and last night we were playing with friend of the show Skylar, and then Cody as well, and that was funny when it's just like, oh, everyone I've ever met owns this game.
Yeah, right. Exactly,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Crazy. And just as far as like an industry standpoint goes, one quick commentary I want to put it is just like Ubisoft just released their like 14-year in development hell pirate trash live service, and like the Arkham game, like Suicide Squad, came out and was also live service trash. And then, like, so many things come out and fail, and they're just trying so hard, blah, 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 all this. And then suddenly, just like, who I assume are a small European team because they told us not to buy the game at one point because they had no space, is just like, oh, wait, if you just make a good game, people are so fucking desperate for it. Like, this is the second episode we've done on something that blew the fuck up, right? Pal World comes out and people are apparently in desperate need of some new Pokemon shit and also new survival, and then people need new co-op apparently, so Helldivers has just been popping off, and it's just really interesting to see big companies absolutely fail and smaller ones kind of sneak in and get meteoric success that I hope doesn't like rockstar them into just like burning out on cocaine and whores, like that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's
or whatever the game dev equivalent of that is.
Yeah, there's definitely some concern with there being like, it is like a battle pass system, which seems to be very fair and balanced right now, and it seems to be, you can make your way along pretty well with everything, the free to play battle pass.
Everything is completely attainable in game. Even the premium currency, although it takes a long time to get it, you get it through the main battle pass you get, but you also just get it in the game. You can find like these little ships on the ground and you like salute to them with your fist in the air and they'll pop open. It'll be like 50 super credits in there.
You need 1,000 super credits to get the battle pass for free, which is
and if you save all your super credits from the first battle pass, you'll be able to get the second one. And if you get the DLC, which is like $30 more, you get a suit and you don't have to buy the battle pass.
We all bought ugly helmets last night instead, but
yeah,
I will be saving my money next. But yeah, I, so my My
love I'm theory never going to grind enough to get the big battle pass. So. Me neither. I'm like trying to spend the cash.
I'll try. Maybe one day. It's fantastic. So yeah, my lore theories were, because you come out of the cryopod, even when you're just in orbit, I was like, oh, are we all clones of the Helldiver we created? Because that's why the military thinks we're so expendable or whatever. But Skyler, friend of the show, who he's had a slow day at work as a pyrotechnician, he was like, well, no, the default character creator is randomize, so they randomize the creation of your soldier every time you die. So he thinks that they're actually disposable, whereas I thought we were disposable clones. But from what I can understand is, especially having done Starship Troopers a couple of years ago,
to build on what you just said. So when you die, your name, or sorry, nothing happens when you die, but whenever you go, you're deployed, your name is your first initial of your Steam tag and a number to further say you're disposable. When I'm playing with you, you're Foam Queen, you're F9 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
A nice touch if we were disposable is if the number went up every time you died. And you were summoned back in. It doesn't. It stays the same. But maybe that's oversight more than
I think. Does it tie to death? I'm pretty sure it's just what position in the party you are. I think the host F4 is always exactly.
Yeah. F4, F1, F2. Whatever.
Chaz, actually, listener of the show, was like, "Oh, I wish the numbers went up." And I also was like, "Oh, that'd
be
cool."
Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, obviously, it's called Super Earth, but it's just Earth, and they have like a completely, like, 110% militarized government. The best part about the lore is just how, like, you guys took me to Robot Vietnam for my first mission, right? And yeah. I absolutely felt like I was could have been the high school quarterback who has been fed nothing but propaganda and has no training, because I don't know the codes for anything. I don't know. I still don't reload when I run out of ammo, because I'm used to an automatic reload. So I have no training. I have nothing but patriotism in my heart, and I am dropped into a damp jungle full of like flesh-eating robots. And I was like, oh, this is exactly the intent the developers had. I understand. You need to feel like this. So it's clearly a completely militarized Earth. And they want to bring
third-person shooter. I don't know if we've said it yet, though. By the way,
you're running around. Lore theories that I have in my 7 hours. Yeah, not so much the genre, but yeah, it is a third.
Well,
person
just so people can picture a Peter landing in the desert or in the jungle. Yeah, I feel like.
So yeah, and they call it managed democracy, which the devs have to be European, because that is such a shot at the U.S. It's unbelievable.
It all is very much a shot at the U.S.
Apologies in advance for anybody listening to find out that I guarantee we will come as the most hostile liberals on the fucking planet.
There are definitely some people out there, again, just with how popular this game is, there's some people out there who play this game and don't understand that it's satire and are like, fascism rules, like, I'm all for Super Earth, but it becomes pretty clear pretty fast.
I didn't call my starship.
The devs aren't that way.
Yeah, I didn't call my starship the Senator of Family Values because I believe that. Right?
Yeah,
exactly. They gave me the option to go whole hog when naming my warship, my genocidal warship, and I was like, this is what they would call it.
Exactly. Like, honestly, with the
this is what Mitch McConnell would call his spaceship, dude. Like, obviously.
Exactly.
But yeah, I guarantee, because they call it managed democracy, I'm pretty sure the bugs were just an easy target that they are using to, like, scam people into going to war. Because the bugs, I guarantee, can't understand what voting is. And, like, they're so far away in space, and from what I've seen, have no interstellar travel. So they're just, like, a target that they've picked. And then the robots, because you conquer territory, like, as a community, which I think is a really, really cool idea. And every time you finish a mission, you see the 1/1,000,000% of help you've contributed, which is a hilarious counter as well. A very good commentary on the current state of perpetual war that certain governments keep us in at all times. the fraction of fractions of fractions of percentages when you go down and kill like 30 guys die to kill 1,000 bugs.
Yeah.
It's worth nothing.
There is a Twitter that does like a WWE wrestling update kind of thing where it's like, this planet's been overrun by the automatons. You've lost here. We've completely libertized this planet. And people
libertized.
They're calling this out as it goes, and they're making narratives and they're making stories. And the players, one of the memes is like, we're fighting in the creek, and it's a place that's kind of in really deep in the automaton territory, and not somewhere that we would need to focus first. Like, there's a tip of place to conquer before you would get that deep, but everyone wants to go to the creek because it's a meme. So it's fun that you can have these community type things where we focus on what planets we're attacking just for the meme. And
and the fact it's 100% co-op, the community has been really supportive. I played with some randos this morning, and it was as good as playing with randos in another co-op only game like Warframe or Monster Hunter World as
or
well.
Deep Rock. Compared to Deep Rock a lot too, right? Yeah. The similar, like, you land on the planet, you go complete some objectives, you kill bugs along the way, you act out, right?
And then I guess my last theory is that the automatons are Super Earth's fault, and they've turned around and are also killing them.
In a way, that's pretty close. You got a couple things pretty wrong, but all in all, pretty close. Jimmy, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah. I want to just flesh out too, like, because on Thursday I heard so many people talking in this game, and I couldn't even picture what it was in my head. Mm-hmm. So like, you are a guy in a suit with a cape, and you land on a planet with a gun, and it's third person, and you either fight bugs or you fight robots.
Maybe a third race.
I haven't seen yet.
There is a tooltip about alien relics, and the government tells you don't fucking touch them. Like, curiosity is sedition.
If we have some time left over, I have some screenshots, some great tooltips that we can.
They're excellent.
So something that you have is your strategium. Your spell casting for your big crazy gun abilities. So like, if you want to call in a 500-pound nuke, you can do that. But the way that you do that is kind of like a Dance Dance Revolution sequence of arrow keys, or WASD. So if I want to even bring my friend back, I have to punch in a code while I'm dealing with a lot of things trying to kill me. It gives you this sense of like nervousness and having to do like a dexterous thing, like input a code while under a lot of stress, would be probably similar to trying to reload a gun while you're under a lot of stress, right?
And
it simulates a lot of this like feeling out of control. But then once you start to get in control and you have access to the strategium and stuff, you're like, oh, there's like 100 meters away, there's an objective. I could go in there and shoot them with all my guns, or I could just call in a giant airstrike and wipe it fuck out. Boom, and I have an orbital laser now. And like, just fries everything.
So good. The sound design is so good. The atmosphere is so good. The graphics are so good. Or like Jamie and I last night, you can like input the code to pull out the marker that you have to throw to call in the airstrike, then get hit by a robot and just drop it at your feet. An airstrike on your head.
Basically. Everything can kill you, especially your own things. I have something called a guard dog that you get at level 10. It's really useful because it's like a sentry laser,
drone, right?
That follows you around. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a drone. But the thing is, if you're not paying attention to where it's shooting, it can just lop your own head off. So it's like, you have to be watching like your own. You can get killed if you stand in front of a turret and an enemy runs by in front of you. Oh, you're fucking dead.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. One thing I found out, some very cool like tactics that they don't explain as far as like the movement system goes, which is shocking, like surprisingly much more like deep than I thought. I was sprinting past like one of you or Skylar last night, sprinting while he was like one of you was firing a machine gun, and then I hit crouch and like fucking slid under the bullets. So you can like dodge and
there's the dive mechanic which you use a lot, which is
very great. Goofy,
and you full send it kind of dive.
And you're like, anyway, so much to talk about the game.
Save it for the bonus. We'll sell this to people, right?
Let's talk about the lore. Before that, I mean, Helldivers 1 again is where most of this lore comes from. There's an encyclopedia in that game, which was just like you could open stuff up. Big shout out to whoever at the fandom wiki took a bunch of those encyclopedia entries and put it there, because that's where all the lore comes from, basically.
Okay, beautiful, yeah.
Helldivers 1 was basically an identical gameplay loop. It was just a twin stick shooter. So it's just a top down, you got the two sticks, and you're going like that, but the exact same the exact same gameplay loop. So you have the campaign hub ship, you have your drop pods, you have your stratagems and your loadouts before each mission. You have the DDR minigame mechanic for calling in your stratagems and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, all this stuff back from 2015.
Damn.
So let's start with Super Earth, right? Our home that we must defend. And I'll start you guys off with a quote here. Prosperity, liberty, and democracy, our way of life. But it doesn't come free. It is every man, woman, and child's duty to protect our home, our culture, and our families. Why not make the most important decision of your life? Make the safety of your family a personal responsibility and prove that you have the strength and courage to be free. Join the Helldivers. Travel the galaxy, visit the capitals, meet unusual people, and represent the Federation. Secure the resources we need to preserve our way of life and create a future for Super Earth. Spread managed democracy throughout the galaxy. Become more than you are. Become a hero. Become a legend. So that's the opening cutscene in Helldivers 2. That's what they read to you.
The graphics are so good in that opening cutscene. The guy's face and his hair and everything. It looks like so real. Like, and then his wife and kid get mauled by a giant bug.
Well, I mean, it's clearly stage propaganda, though, right? So,
yeah. You are not immune to propaganda, James.
No, clearly.
I believe it. I want to get back out there and spread democracy right now. Honestly.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking about it. We're going to be so jacked up.
Right? So the story of Helldivers starts with Super Earth, like I said. It's an idyllic alternate Earth government of where of the future, where all civilizations have been unified and everyone is happy, thanks to the latest and greatest political system of managed democracy. So, Pete, you said it's just regular Earth. It's not. It's Super Earth is the government, essentially, more than it is. When I say Super Earth, I am referring to the government that governs humanity more than anything.
They called themselves Super Earth.
The capital planet is called Super Earth, but it changes, and we'll talk about why.
I see. Okay. Because I felt like the Terra system when I was choosing missions to go bug robot.
I don't know what the canon between the games is. Like, we haven't been given that information yet. I'm going to assume that they didn't give it too much thought, and that I think we're probably restarting this galactic campaign. But again, it's a galactic campaign, and we'll talk about the gameplay loop of Helldivers 1, but you could win the wars and you could also lose the wars as a community. And when you lose the war, like, you trigger an event, which is a planetary defense event of the capital planet, and all the players work on that one defense, of that planet, all these defense missions. But if you don't succeed, the capital is destroyed and they'll set up a new Super Earth capital on another planet, essentially.
Wow. Cool. That's great. I hope that happens. I hope we get to experience that at least once.
Almost for sure we will. I think there's the gameplay loop is going to be exactly the same. Yeah.
That already have been destroyed. Yeah. Like that Twitter account that I was talking about, it's not a community run account. It's like the developers are like, drop near, it's done. Yeah, you liberated it, riveted it, but the automatons took over. It.
You libertized it?
Well, actually, I love democracy.
What I think is fun about that is I posted you guys two pictures. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're propaganda images of what Super Earth might look like. One is like these like destroyer ships above Super Earth with a building thousands of kilometers tall. And then another one shows like the pyramids. But again, it's not necessarily Earth, because in the first Helldivers, there was several wars lost. And so like the capital was lost several times over. And it's
right.
Not
our pyramid,
right?
Yeah. You've got the CRT screen grain over these things. I don't know if the high speed train system around the pyramids of Giza is still there. Exactly. Maybe we will get to see it.
Every planet in Helldivers 2 so far that I've been to, and I've quick played and jumped to a bunch of different planets, have either been desert biome or jungle biome.
Yeah.
Desert, super sandy, hard to see. Jungle, Johnny in the trees. There's a bunch of hard to see.
There is a snow covered biome too that you can go to.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I mean, we did a mission there, I think last night, Pete. I guess maybe you just don't pick up on it as much, but I will say the, anyway, we'll talk about
people are afraid. Like the community are afraid of the robots. I have a lot of friends who have not done a robot mission yet. They'll only play bugs because they heard too many scary stories from the. And whenever you do quick play, you end up in a lot of bug missions if you don't set yourself to robot missions or whatever.
My stoned ass has a screenshot from the ice planet. Never mind.
I
wanted to add some screenshots for the patrons afterwards. Yeah, we straight up did. I have a screenshot of it.
So For the uninitiated, like I said earlier, Helldivers is definitely satire. It's clearly inspired by Starship Troopers. There's some other elements of other popular sci-fi in there as well. Yep. It's a parody of McCarthyism, fascism, the military industrialization complex, and America's own unique brand of patriotism.
What's yes. McCarthyism?
Communist hunters.
Basically. Often known as the Second Red Scare. It's essentially like a period of 1950s, 1960s Americana where people would turn and call the government on their neighbors and say, my neighbor's a communist, come arrest them, basically.
Oh my God.
And this was all on the advice of a U.S. government guy. He's maybe CIA or maybe he was a senator or something. He was a politician of some kind. Yeah. And was Joseph McCarthy, as far as I know. So that's why it's called McCarthyism, is like ratting out your neighbors, like narking on your neighbors because they're polite, I guess, would be the
Well, like, if they had nothing to hide, we wouldn't have to call them in.
Exactly.
That's the spirit, Jamie. We've all been that's what 27 hours of fucking Helldivers 2 gets you.
Absolutely.
So it's a pretty common refrain that the Helldivers, the galactic fighting force of Super Earth, are bringing liberty to alien planets. You see a lot of people for the memes just saying liberty, spamming liberty in Twitch chats and things like that. October 26th is Liberty Day, presumably the day when the people of Super Earth put aside their differences to unite under a single government. This is something to look forward to because IRL in the past with Helldivers 1, the devs would often release like big updates, big free updates on October 26th as like a celebration of liberty. So look
this
forward
is
to
a
it.
Good way to do a live service, devs who may or may not be listening, right?
Yeah.
I don't want a interminable loot grind. It's give us a common goal. It's genius.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
For Honor had a very similar system.
Very similar, absolutely.
Yeah, Warframe has it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So before the unification of all governments under Super Earth, we know that Helldivers already existed before Super Earth became the government. They are the elite fighting force of Super Earth. They're drafted from the Army Corps. They're dropped into battle using ODST-like drop pods, but before Super Earth was unified, they would sometimes serve as riot police and maybe even assassins. Very CIA, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of ways, right? So Helldiver Defenders from the first game's DLC are big, bulky tank units who are particularly good at busting unions and escalating peaceful protests. Meanwhile, the Rangers, whose training used to be standard for Helldivers, were known for their abilities in scouting and assassination of high-value targets. Knowing that Helldivers were around before the unification of Super Earth, I think it's a fair lore boys canon that maybe some assassination skills were used to achieve unity.
You wouldn't want a president with a convertible and a hot wife to fire the head of the CIA or anything.
Yeah, no, that's a national security threat, right?
Or
that's a galactic security threat.
He married a bug in a pink hat. Okay.
So Helldivers nowadays do most of their work abroad on interplanetary missions to spread managed democracy to the lesser races of the galaxy or who are hellbent on destroying everything Super Earth has built. We said managed democracy a few times. Now we'll get into it in a little bit. We're going to talk about the Helldivers a little bit more in the Nullipods, but then we'll get into
it. The bugs hate us for our freedom that they can understand and express through absolutely. All their chittering and screeching that they do.
Actually, we'll find out what the bugs deal is.
I see. Okay.
So here's a quote from the original Helldivers Encyclopedia. Our pride, the Helldivers, are the scalpel of the military might of Super Earth. Young men and women are drafted from the regular Army Corps to do their part in the unrestful galaxy that is set on destroying Super Earth. Helldivers are dropped into battle using the iconic Hellpods, shock-absorbing tubes that break the atmosphere at extreme velocities, only to crack the ground when they open to reveal their heroic cargo. Language like this is used a lot in the game too. When you are doing the mission, there's like General Brash who is like giving you doing the training. When you're going through basic, you have like General Brash who's like hyping you up, and he's like calling you indestructible. He describes you as 7 feet tall at some point.
Yeah.
Like, it's all very like oorah.
The best part about the tutorial is like simulating health damage, and you're at like a CRT computer screen and it just has a spike that shoots out and hits in the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like so fucking low tech.
Yeah.
My assumption, in my head, I don't know if you see him at some point or maybe I missed the picture when I was doing the tutorial. I imagine General Brash as being like wheelchair bound, completely crippled celebrity soldier who is still pretending like the Helldivers are unkillable. Like, that's in my head. Like, he looks like Lieutenant Dan combined with, like, a military commander sort of thing.
I have more of, like, a small soldier's the guy with the tall hair thing going in my head. We would carry the knife in his teeth and stuff. Yeah.
General whatever. Small soldiers next week. We'll fill that gap.
I want to know where the Gorgonauts come from.
It was Archer. It's Gorgonites, I think.
Gorgonites, there you go. I think it's so funny. You do the basic training. Like, there's a part where you have to dive beneath these two turrets to show you how, like, the dive mechanic works and how you can crawl under friendly fire, essentially.
I got killed.
I think I died, like, four times there. And it just, like... It blows your limbs off. Like, yeah. It's very
whenever drastic. I was streaming that part on Twitch, and Twitch chat already, like, started counting my deaths from that point. Like, I think everybody dies so often there that it's, like, a thing. Yeah. I died twice there and then, like, got through and then got stabbed in the shoulder.
It doesn't tell you when to dive. It's spray painted on the ground, which is, like, good gameplay storytelling, I guess. So, yeah. Like, I ran at it and dove too early or whatever, so the turret's just like locked onto me and blew me up while I was lying on my stomach. You need to dive through at, like, the dive line, basically. That's underneath, like, the warehouse door that the turrets are next to.
Me, I just never let go of sprint, so I kept diving and then instantly standing up and trying to sprint through the machine guns. So to talk about the hell pods, the things that you drop from orbit,
love the hell pods. Just
they look
quick.
Like bullets being shot from space into a planet, dude.
You couldn't just let me finish my line. I was gonna say, a wise man once described them as bullets, but with people inside, where space is the gun.
That's what I said.
I know. You're the wise man. I was gonna talk you up, but now you look like a fool for saying it.
I love that they bury into the ground, and, like, another, like, oorah moment is that your guy comes out on an elevator. It's so silly. Instead of, like, it, like, bursts open, because you mentioned ODST, like, the Halo ODSTs land or, like, pop open when you land, and, like, Titanfall, if you drop a Titan without the warp drop, they, like, burst out of a case and land. This thing burrows you into the ground, and then you come up on, like, a Lazy Susan size elevator, which is so fucking cool.
The supply drops, and, like, when you call in guns, all that stuff has, like, boosters on the bottom that fire right at the end so it doesn't go underground, but for some reason you just go underground when they drop you
also
off,
you had mentioned that all your stratagems, all the artillery and everything, your ship is in the air in real time. This morning when I did a couple missions, I called in an orbital strike on, like, a bug nest and looked up and watched the the timer is always the same. The drop is always, like, whatever, 4 or 5 seconds. So I watched the orbital drop, like, steer itself through the air from my ship, and then just, like, boom.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Even on a toaster PC like mine. And again, the game is, the settings are phenomenal. Just advice for people out there. You can really customize it to work on an aged rig like I have. Sacrifice everything performance wise in favor of particle effects, because once you get, like, a high level particle effect airstrike, you will absolutely die for Super Earth, dude. It is so fucking cool.
The cool thing too about that ship that you see coming in real time is, as you collect, I'll let you get on track really soon, I promise.
You can collect nothing for the patrons, that's all.
We'll figure them out, but the ship, like, you fly in, it's also your hub, like, in between missions, and the bug samples, you can get, like, common samples, rare samples, and there's one more tier of sample I haven't even got yet, but you bring back those samples and you can upgrade your ship, so that orbital strike that you call in will come in 2 seconds faster, which makes it a little easier to land the shot, or it'll come off cooldown a minute sooner and all this
or
stuff.
Or vastly more dangerous if both your legs are cut off in the middle of all your friends while you're holding an orbital strike request. Now they have 90 seconds, or they have a second and a half to get out of the way instead of five.
There's some tech you see and it's like, okay, that is just going to kill me. I saw the mine. There's this thing that just shoots a minefield of mines in just a few seconds. And I'm like, oh, I am going to die to mines from my friends.
Absolutely.
The mines are just an OSHA violation. And I don't understand at all. Anyway, so
we're talking about hell pods. Their own excerpt from the in-game encyclopedia lists Helldivers drop into battle using the iconic hell pods, shock absorbing tubes that did I already read that? I think I already read that. So the hell pods were first invented for use on Earth, not abroad, as the citizens of Northman's Creek, different creek, seceded from Super Earth and declared themselves independent. Turns out they were filthy socialists and wanted to suppress their people by making them have a voice in government and the decisions the government made.
I don't think so. That's awful. That's nasty. Gross.
So the quashing of the rebellion was not going well, and unable to get proper air superiority, Super Earth invents death machines to drop Helldivers from orbit. 50 Helldivers were dropped directly into the Northman's Creek Parliament, where they quickly saved the population from their socialist overlords, replacing them with bona fide liberty and bringing them back into the Super Earth fold. So, the Hell Pods and Helldivers used to suppress rebellions or revolutions.
Yeah, of course.
And the Hell Pods were invented expressly for that purpose as well. Why would you want socialism, after all, when Super Earth is managed by the best possible democratically elected politicians, made certain by using managed democracy? What managed democracy is, in a nutshell, is regular democracy, but easier and smarter. So, from the original Helldivers Encyclopedia again. Mankind has improved upon the old concept of democracy. Utilizing computer-aided voting software, citizens are asked to answer several questions, and the outcome of their vote is decided upon by the computer. This removes the uncertainty that existed in the old systems where voters didn't fully understand what they were voting for, giving us managed democracy.
If you're too dumb to vote, we'll fix your vote for you.
Yeah, no, it's just a fucking...
I'll fix votes.
They called ChatGPT. Right?
Yeah.
They call it because obviously, like, Helldivers 1 must have come out so long ago because
2015. Nine years ago.
Yeah. Okay. This is way before they straight up, like, predicted The Simpsons predicted it, sort of thing, but their own version of it. Helldivers predicted, like, the checking ballots for bamboo fibers because of the communist Chinese conspiracy to elect Joe Biden, right? Like, it's exactly. Straight, but, like, also GPT, where it doesn't make anything, it just interprets real things badly. So you fill in like you do a BuzzFeed quiz.
I'm so glad you said that, because my next sentence is essentially citizens will log onto the web and go to everyone's favorite website, BuzzFeed.
There you go.
They'll answer a quick quiz to figure out which Sonic character would be the best at blowing their back out, and the BuzzFeed AI takes that information and casts their vote for president based off of it.
Who would it be?
I think not Rose. Who's the bat?
Rouge.
The bat?
Yeah, bat with a strap on.
Rouge the bat.
Oh.
I don't think Shadow can get hard. That's why he has a gun.
True. I think Miles
if you have a gun, you can't get hard.
No.
Everybody knows it.
Yes.
I feel like Miles could come in and get with some serious speed. And you know what Miles' full name is?
Miles per hour.
Oh, you got it.
You taught me this, I think.
Oh, per hour. I guess.
Yeah.
It's like P-R-O-W-E-R.
I know. I think I've heard that a million times, but never made the connection to per hour.
Yeah.
So obviously there's some speculation amongst the populace that maybe the system might be rigged. I'm willing to inject some Loreboy's canon that citizens are not informed who their ballot was ultimately cast for. I think it makes sense. In the name of unity, we wouldn't want people to know that their politician didn't win, right? Even if they didn't like cast the vote for that politician themselves, they wouldn't want the computer set to tell them, oh, I voted for the loser for you, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I think Loreboy's canon is that you just do the quiz and that's all. Then you hear who gets elected. You don't hear who your vote got cast for.
Your elected's doing a lot of work in that sentence, Ethan.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like dissonance.
My mistake.
Talk like that is dissonance and downright unsuper Earthian, right?
Right.
So we'll have to clamp down on that, on the Peets of the world, right? Dude, the first game and its DLC
is so weird. I'm looking at my Steam profile and I'm looking at them in one group and it says clam down. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in this. And you're just like, we have to clamp down. And I was looking at it and I thought you were looking at my screen. I'm sorry.
Our chakras have clearly aligned because we've been playing Helldivers together. Like,
the Super Earth government is always watching, Jamie.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So the first game and its DLCs paint a pretty clear picture that the Super Earth government is fascist and doesn't really have a limit to what they'll do to retain their seat of power. There's a splash screen in the original Helldivers labeled as a Super Earth broadcast, which states, questions regarding the Federation or government of Super Earth shall be sent to the appropriate quadrant. It is illegal to express oneself openly about the Federation or government of Super Earth in a negative manner, and serious cases may result in arrest or termination. Brought to you by Super Earth PT LTD, sponsored by Super Earth.
That makes sense. Like, if you have a problem, you shouldn't tell people about it. You might sway their opinions one way or another. You submit a complaint and see what happens. I think
it would be irresponsible to constantly show that the president is brain dead. I think you shouldn't do that.
No.
In defense of Joe Biden, Republicans got theirs with Ronald Reagan, right? Like, his brain was pudding by the end of his term. Yeah, so yeah.
Throat Goat had a psychic, apparently, like modifying the Constitution or some shit.
That's cool.
I mean, yeah, Ronald. I don't know if you guys know this. Ronald Reagan straight up had dementia for the last like 3 years of his term. very, very good.
Oh yeah,
it's good. So there's also a private on the ship you ride in the first game, who tells you that he has a neighbor who turned their own son into the authorities for, quote, not honoring the Super Earth flag. Again, pretty reminiscent of the Red Scare eras in American history.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in the first game that all communications over the galactic wide web are monitored for alien sympathizers. Entire units of Helldivers, the most patriotic of folk, have been summarily executed for sympathizing with the enemy. There was a screenshot. Let me see if I can find it from last night. Yeah, if you notice it, so on the loading screen, you get tips, and one of the training manual tips says, if you notice a squad mate sympathizing with an enemy, report them to your democracy officer. Thought crimes kill.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Senator John W. Killjoy, great name.
Excellent.
Has gone on record saying that this is, I think this is the McCarthy parody account is Senator John W. Killjoy instead of Joseph McCarthy. Has gone on record saying that those who wish for peace talks with the cyborgs should be jailed or executed. Little mini spoiler for you guys there. I am going to say cyborgs, not robots.
Jesus. By the way, in the game, the robots are basically Terminator enemies. Yeah. The red eyes.
Yeah, like red eyes.
Yeah. Relentlessly marching towards you, shooting lasers and stuff. They're just as fucking
massive hell. With chainsaws for arms just charging at you. Yeah. Right?
Everything is like dark or metally with and red glowing and like smoke coming out of it, like the tank that's coming out. Usually if there's a red area with smoke coming out of it, throw a grenade in there and something probably good will happen.
Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Last night, I remember Ethan was saying we like lost a mission, or I think Skylar extracted a loan, or you did, Jamie. And it was just like, we're under fire from the word go. You are being shot at for 100% of the mission. And there's nothing you can do. But yeah, the robots are very Terminator-esque, but they are a combination of the kind of spooky Terminator sci-fi as well as a more, I don't know, a more like diesel punk inspired thing where they do have like exposed rads that glow red. And yeah, like the big chainsaw fucking thing, which was the bane of my existence last night.
Yeah.
Has like two smokestacks, like pouring out like coal smoke out of it, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like the basic infantrymen have those, like one that can have a rocket, one that can have a machine gun. They can just come at you with two like Wolverine blades that are like red on the back of their hands.
And
very, very cool. Fun
and blowing
to kill.
Both their arms off don't kill them in a lot of cases, so they just continue to stampede towards you with their godless red eyes.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah.
So on their 16th birthday, every citizen of Super Earth is issued a bolt action rifle.
Oh, it's a bolt mitzvah. Let's go, baby.
That's very good. Apparently, it's to encourage military service, and it would make sense, for in the future, they will need it. For once Super Earth was properly unified, humanity turned its gaze to the stars. Equipped with faster-than-light ships, which seem to travel distances both by moving fast and time travel, they spread out looking to colonize other planets. I included this just because I think it's a really cool way to explain faster-than-light travel. There's a voice line from your ship's commanding officer in the first game, which states, fun fact, did you know that this ship can get to any position in the galaxy in mere seconds? This is due to the Alcubierre drive invented in the early 2030s. The drive works by creating a wave in the time-space to actually make time and, well, space flow around the ship. So it seems like you time travel whenever you faster than light travel.
Cool. I mean, that would, if somebody wanted to get really, like, anal about it, like prevent you from coming home to your parents after bringing managed democracies to the bugs, and your parents having been dead for 400 years, right? Yeah. Unless that's just a lie, and when you do get home somehow, your parents have been dead for 400 years, which I think Super Earth would probably tell you.
Yeah, no, it's a lie, dude. Yeah, it's the lame Einstein media or whatever. Somebody doesn't exist. Your parents are still alive. Go to war, you maggot.
Diet, work, be a man.
Yeah. So humans would find, however, that the galaxy is not empty, but more on that after the break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. So we have the humans of Super Earth spreading out into the galaxy to find planets to liberate from their alien overlords, and they would not come up wanting. Here's a quote from the encyclopedia on the subject. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is inhabited by more species than was previously believed, and it turns out most of them are, in one way or another, hostile. The Super Earth military is fighting to keep back the tide of enemies that besiege us from all fronts. The elite Helldivers go both beyond the front and behind our own lines to support you and our troops. So the first and second games take place while the Galactic Wars are in full swing. During the first game, and presumably at some time in the sequel, the war will be against three enemies. The Bugs, the Cyborgs, and the Illuminate. They're like a Protoss-like race, I guess you could say. Cool. So they were very present in the first one. I think community speculation, I haven't looked into it, but I have to imagine most people assume that they're going to be coming to this game at some point.
DLC right. Next October 26th.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I may not buy the Battle Pass, but I will buy all DLC for this game. I want more alien monsters to free or libertize, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So Helldivers works by having a galactic campaign in progress, which we talked about. Players all over the world contribute to it. For every planet that a player conquers, they push progress in that sector against that enemy forward. So you have a sector with Bugs, you have a sector with Cyborgs, and you have a sector with the Illuminate. If the players are able to conquer enough sectors to push the aliens back to their home world, there's a special 48-hour event on that enemy's home planet. If the community is able to gain enough victories in that time, that faction will be defeated. Cool. Once all enemy factions are defeated, the war is won, though a new war is always right behind it.
We're winning on the bug front. We're losing on the automaton front right now because people are too afraid for the robots.
Yeah,
so we're pushing the bugs in.
Chaos, but they're not that bad on medium when you guys threw me in. So they're don't not. Be afraid, listener. But I know I did bug missions on medium this morning just because I was having coffee and didn't particularly want to have screaming lasers fired at me at all times. Mm-hmm. And it was 7:30 in the morning. I saw 5 planets. And I'm on the 5th one, which this morning was down to like 60% liberated or something like that. Like we're getting there.
Small complaint from the Reddit community. There always will be. When they killed a planet this morning, like a cannon, the automatons won. It still had like 23% left to be liberated, and they killed it early. So I think they do make some decisions on like how things are going. But for the most part, I think it's supposed to be driven.
Well,
by
I wonder
the
if the servers need to have a reset or something while they are melt, like the temperature of their current servers are being measured in Kelvin.
I don't know. Something I wanted to bring up too, and maybe I'm robbing the bonus. But whenever you're set your keybinds, if you want, for your codes, for your strategic codes, to something other than your movement keys. Because it allows you to still be running and then bring in reinforcements or bring out guns and stuff. So for me, like I set it to my arrow keys. So I take my hand off the mouse and continue running, and I plug it in really quick on the arrow keys. I'm getting to the point where after 20 hours, some of them I barely have to look anymore. I glance at it and then it's done. So that's
yeah,
I have if you're the, having trouble.
I have the reinforcement one pretty down, but
yeah,
not all, the I shortest mean, one that I only have the orbital strike that you come with. It's right, like, right it's up. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right up is yeah. is the or the first orbital strike.
Yeah, easy.
I like having it as WASD because I love the additional little like chemical hit of panic I can get yeah, by standing still to call someone back in.
Oh yeah, it still feels
for the moment. 20 hours in, I might be fucking sick of it.
It's still yeah. apparently really hard. Is like really hard
on the harder difficulties. Exactly. Like we're playing medium right now.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
And let me
get to level 10 before I start making like strategic decisions. Maybe
one thing that the community's having trouble with is the armor count of the really heavy armor ones in the harder difficulties gets so insane that you have to pick. Like things that you can summon that have armor piercing. So like people almost always take the shield because staying alive is the biggest thing. There's and then take
cool
and take three different armor piercing abilities because you just literally can't kill them unless you have armor piercing. So I don't know how they're gonna the gameplay by the time we all get to difficulty 8 or 9 might be different, but
It also feels good in that like you very much feel like an expendable soldier just yeah. thrown into this hell, right? And like the yeah. fact that your fucking your little pea shooter doesn't kill these like giant cyborg monstrosities just feels right.
I pretty much use the machine gun like I have like 90% uptime with the machine gun. I barely use my
yeah primary and secondary. Like you always have enough ammo I find with the because you call down like a special third weapon, right?
Yeah,
I feel like
if you put in your loadout, yeah.
Yeah, I did look up, and I was suspicious that this was a European dev, and maybe the fact that they have, you know, free college and good healthcare. These people are Swedish that made this game.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I think I knew that actually, but so it was possible in the first Helldivers to lose a campaign, like I said earlier, to be pushed back enough to trigger a capital defense event, which could also be failed. Both the fail state and the victories are canon. If we ever fail a war, a new planet is declared the capital super Earth, and we set up our government there, start the war back up, bring liberty back to our planets. For every time a war is won, those evil alien factions can't help but give us a reason to start another war. Except
was it holding their own elections? Because I would consider that an act of aggression.
Pretty goddamn close, Pete. Like I said earlier, not all of them are really alien. The cyborgs of the Helldivers universe are indeed just that, part robot, part human. Former terrorists, these former humans broke away from Super Earth and founded a new home where they use inferior technology to augment their bodies.
Oh, shit.
Cyborg leaders have gone on record saying Super Earth's ideals are a lie and the people are brainwashed. Pfft, come on.
I don't think so.
They're trying to damage the beautiful unity and liberty of Super Earth.
My brain is completely unwashed, I will have you know.
Sleep, sleep, sleep.
I wash my brain twice a year, whether I need it or not.
So cyborgs are painted by the propaganda of Super Earth as a true menace to socialists. Their logo is a red star, and they are often used as a boogeyman to spook Super Earth citizens. There's always some rumors circulating about how there's a
I
mad
heard
scientist.
The cyborgs was paying taxes and using it to pave roads.
There's always rumors circulating about how a mad scientist is going around turning people into cyborgs, or like you're going to get abducted and disappeared and it's the cyborgs that did it when it's probably the fucking CIA that did it.
Yeah, I know. It'd be like high school teachers are going to cyborg your kids, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Give them a cyborg litter box.
Putting out outlets in classrooms now.
Yeah, steal your baloney children and turn them into super soldiers or something. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they're letting kids plug in and charge at school now. Like, not my one.
Guys, by the way, I gave you both a Fancy Pants Awards on your Steam profile from... So now you guys have that, those commendations. Just thanks. Cool.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
The first war against the cyborgs began after a cyborg terrorist detonated a massive bomb inside a city, killing thousands of civilians.
Oh. Okay.
whether or not this first bombing happened as described might be true, might not be true. Every subsequent war after you beat the cyborgs is sparked by the exact same story, usually with casualties in the single digits. So if you win a campaign against the robots, there's a period of peace, and then inevitably, a robot did a terrorism again. We gotta go to war.
Yeah, it's either false flag or entrapment.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, any who doubt the official story are likely to be branded as cyborg sympathizers. If the heroic Helldivers are able to drive the robots back to their home planet of Cyberstan on the Galactic Fringe, this is a snow-covered world. So
no
one...
fucking way.
Super Earth is given the chance to install proper managed democracy for them. So when you beat the robots, your top priority is bringing them managed democracy, the gift of it, right?
Yeah, it's only $1 trillion, honestly. That's pocket change. Right.
Once
I
conquered.
Don't see any meat left on them whenever we're playing now, though, if they're cyborgs. No. Yeah. Really...
I mean, maybe the brain inside, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Or maybe it's like, hey, they're cyborgs and they're living like a peaceful life somewhere and they've built robots to do the fighting for them. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
To think of like the Super Earth government doing phrenology on like the chrome skull of a Terminator.
like turning the calipers.
Yeah. Feeling like
scratching against it.
There's still a bullet in like a dent hole feeling over that with their thumb.
Yeah. See, he has a hole here where the liberty part of the brain normally is. It's very concerning. So once conquered, cyborgs are democratized, and forced into voting booths under threat of losing all their rights. So they're forced into a voting booth to take the BuzzFeed quiz and then have their ballots cast for them. Once a fair and equal election takes place,
cool.
Behind
the best election.
Yeah, behind the veil of the BuzzFeed AI, of course. The newly elected government invariably turns over the massive forges and industrial complexes of Cyberstan into the hands of loyal and patriotic super Earthians.
Thank goodness. Right. Cyberstan is an obscene name. It's so good, dude. Right? It's so good. God we have Europe to, I don't know, call out our bullshit here in the West, eh?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Roborat when?
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Cyborat.
My wire.
I got the Super Earth.
In the castle, I have the democracy.
Armies are kept on the planet for 5 years or so to keep the peace and run the government until another cyborg bombing starts the cycle anew.
I was going to say, 5 years is rookie numbers, dude. You got to like stick around somewhere to liberate it for 20 plus and then fail.
There's no interest in the Super Earth government in actually maintaining peace, right?
Oh, like, really? Dang, dude.
They plunder, they pillage, and then there's a bombing somewhere in the galaxy and they have to go to war again.
Right. Okay.
Now that the threat of socialism is taken care of, we can focus on real issues. Giant space bugs, right?
Yeah, of
right.
course. Yes.
The real threat. Like, hey, the robots, we're joking. They're socialists. This is like, bugs are a real threat, right? So the Federation has decided, this is a quote. The Federation has decided that the bug threat is becoming too great. Senator John W. Killjoy declared, "The bugs have been a plague in this galaxy for far too long. They must now be eradicated before they spread to other worlds."
Since I found out about them up until right now is
exactly.
too long.
The capital B bugs from Helldivers are a sentient race of just that, bugs. They've evolved over millions of years, always coming out on top of natural selection in their home sector on the eastern edge of the galaxy. We don't know how they achieve interstellar travel, but they are present on a large number of planets across many different star systems. They resemble a combination of arachnids, insectoids, and crustaceans, or just the bugs from Starship Troopers.
Arthropods overall. I was going to say, in Starship Troopers, they do have like orbital artillery bugs that have evolved that'll shoot acid into orbit and like melt capital ships or whatever.
Yeah.
As someone who's had to cross the US border a lot, I think the bugs got through in fruits and vegetables, because they always say don't bring any fruits and vegetables back, and someone probably brought some fruits and vegetables down to like drop near or something, and that's how you get a little bug problem.
You're probably
that
right.
True. A friend of mine had a pet lizard that he got,
that was trapped in a plastic tree that he had bought off Amazon.
Oh, you told
that
me
that was delivered from Florida. Remember, yeah, he had a little pet lizard for a while.
Guy, there's a moving company near where I live, and a guy who works there was unpackaging something from the States. Black widow bite right on his shin.
Yeah,
no, it still looks necrotic. Like, and it's been years. Yeah,
when I used to do horse shows, anytime we'd ship jumps up from the south, we'd always like check them for black widows, basically, because they just sit in like a dark. When they're not being used, the jumps, they just sit in like a dark corner of a barn somewhere for weeks or months at a time, right?
Crazy.
My God. So we should kill the bugs, clearly.
The bugs are an existential threat to human life in the galaxy. If not kept in check, they will surely sweep through, infesting every planet and snuffing out all their life. They're apex predators. They've evolved over millions of years.
Just a horse jump traveling through space and a bug in the corner.
That's what their ships look like.
It is essential that the Helldivers load up and go to war with the bugs. The citizens of Super Earth took up arms once more and soon learned a very interesting fact about bugs. That once they die, they're known to rapidly generate vast amounts of oil during decomposition.
Oh,
no.
Oh, so this is whaling and Iraq, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Cool. No, when you see great. Those big mama larva ones and you can pop their back and all this green fluid comes out of it.
The Mountain Dew bugs are bullshit because they will instant kill you with like an acid spray, dude.
Yeah, but the nice thing is you can like kill them by just shooting them in the head, but then their body is still there and they're dead. But if too much explosions goes around, they pop too, like a big old zit.
Okay, Nurgle so would love they're the They're full bug of lantern oil, which obviously we need in whatever year this is, right? Yeah.
it is straight up listed as oil, similar to the oil that megafauna once produced on Earth. So it's
petrol. Oh, regular oil.
Yeah, it's petroleum. Like, it is just very luminous.
A super soldier like exploring a cave, but instead of like a lantern with oil in it, he has one of those big mama bugs with just like a needle poked into it and like a flame on the top. Yeah. It's got it on like a leash walking it through so he can see it.
Yeah, like the little like stove wick that comes out. Like,
exactly.
Like a pilot light.
Or whenever they like light the oil from the oil fields and it's just spraying up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
New just idea like though.
A big pile of dead bugs and you just like huck a torch at it. Like light on top.
Next, guys, Helldivers 3. Let's make it like whaling sci-fi. Like, now give us an ocean planet where we're hunting, where we're straight up whaling for oil, ocean bugs.
I mean, we'll talk about ocean aliens and when we get to the third faction here. Ah! So.
Helldivers 4, we're clubbing seals.
Yeah.
Yes.
For democracy. Oh,
just do the HSBC. That's it. Yeah. That video game in the future.
So as Super Earth nears victory against the bugs in the campaign, the tune around them being a galaxy-devouring tide tends to change. Suddenly, they're a fragile species, exceedingly rare, and need to be saved at all costs. It would be immoral to even think about exterminating them.
Oh, it is whaling. That's the whaling.
It's oil. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. A Super Earth scientist, Dr. Hank Plogue, quickly reveals he has a safe way of breeding the bugs in containment.
Wait, I just thought of something. After a while, they get worried about global swarming. And they're like, no, we gotta keep the bugs around. Yeah,
yeah, right? So since the wars always restart in Helldivers, it's pretty much canon that each one is started when these oil startups from milking bug carcasses inevitably let one escape to start breeding again. So we never kill out the bugs completely because we need oil, and then it inevitably starts another war.
Yeah.
Every time a war is kicked back up, the government references the lost oil pumps from the last campaigns. So as you proceed through the war on an existential threat to humans in the galaxy, a common objective is to restart the oil pumps you come across along the way. Very, very reminiscent of America's time in the Middle East, I think.
Yeah. America's second most recent time in the Middle East.
Yeah. Desert Storm or whatever, right? The George H.W.
Desert Storm was Clinton. The War on Terror was W. Yeah,
I mean, his father went to the Middle East too, right?
Did H.W.? Anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Bugs. They all do. They're all the same president. I just want you to know.
So with those two races now being given liberty and democracy, we have the final hostile species in the galaxy. They're known as the Illuminate, though they call themselves the Squith. They are a highly advanced extragalactic race, which has had colonies in the Milky Way for millennia. They seem to have evolved from aquatic beings with plenty of tentacles and fish bowls in their art and have been a civilization for hundreds of thousands of years. They use bioelectronics and nanotechnology to sustain themselves outside the water and are even described by your ship's science officer in the original Helldivers as having a jellyfish-like sting to them. So we kind of like sting you when you touch them.
Yeah. I like that they use biotechnics to stay out of the water. It's like they're in their suit and every time they breathe, like the little thing... like into their eyes so they don't have to blink.
Little, water gun.
Little squirters just everywhere.
I was imagining a spacesuit, but like visibly filled almost to the top with water. And it's like kind of like rocking like the water in Jurassic Park.
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like some of the art is like you see it's like their tentacles and then there's like a bowl of water on top of tentacles with like a creature inside the bowl of water essentially.
Oh cute. Okay.
If you knock them on their back they can't breathe right because the air bubble is there.
So we first encountered the Squith or the Illuminate in the year 2200, our second date this episode. After we saw the first one, we started seeing them everywhere. For a while, the UFO sightings were dismissed as highway hypnosis, and Uncle Dale loves talking about getting probed. until the Illuminate came directly to the people of Super Earth with a peace offering. While this may seem like a nice gesture, our glorious government did their due diligence, and we found that the Illuminate had large quantities of world-destroying devices, WMDs.
Of course.
damn. Not the fucking fish with the weapons of mass destruction. Right, not again. I hate this.
Saddam.
Or wait, not the fish. The fifth. What are they? The Squith?
The Squith.
Sound like they're named by Mike Tyson. Yeah. Squith. Yeah. We like... we democracy.
So naturally, while their delegation was at the Parliament offering peace, we sent a preemptive strike aimed at obliterating them from the galaxy. As Senator Killjoy said, the statement sends a clear message to all would-be threats to Super Earth. If they have more advanced technology than us, be prepared to pay the price.
We have innumerable men to die at your hands. Just like...
if you're smarter than us, we're going to kill you for it. Is basically what he said.
I can't wait to break some fish bowls, though.
Right.
Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, I can't wait to start shooting at these guys. Yeah. Bring them in soon.
Yeah. Anytime you win a mission to defend a planet from the Illuminate, your advisors will tell you, oh, thank God you won, or they would have blowed up the planet. of course, like, if you.
It's incorrectly written?
No, that's me. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, okay.
Because that does sound like a tool tip. That you get, like, where it's not even written correctly. Yeah.
Of course, if you lose a mission to defend a planet, they're miraculously never obliterated, and you can always recapture them. If you're a cyborg sympathizer, you may be able to expect mercy in the form of a lifetime of incarceration instead of execution. If you don't understand how dangerous the Illuminate are, the government will... It's public execution if you side with the Illuminate at all. Based. Again, they want peace, so like that's dangerous for our citizens to be talking to them.
Yeah,
no, absolutely not. Any missions Helldivers are sent on against the Illuminate, they are tasked with recovering as much advanced technology as possible, as the Squith are significantly ahead of humans. A lot of the advanced weapons in the game, like the Arc Thrower or the Shield Generator, are considered likely spoils from the war against the Illuminate.
Oh, cool! Yeah, the Dome Shield saved our asses. Once.
I just got the Dome Shield and I haven't put it to proper use yet. There's also a backpack that you can get that is a Dome Shield on your
back. I saw a guy with that. Yeah, like it's like a little mushroom cap that protects your head and shoulders.
Oh, super cool.
Anytime they're defeated, the Squith, that is, our dutiful leaders in managed democracy force the treacherous Xenos to sign treaties, which disallows them from creating an armed forces branch and requires them to turn over all weapons tech to Super Earth.
So that is what the U.S. did to Japan. And that is what the entire film of Shin Gojira is about. When Godzilla shows up, the Prime Minister of Japan needs to call the U.S. before dealing with the giant radioactive lizard.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that is still in practice right now.
Yeah. I mean, Germany too was demilitarized for a long, long time, right?
After the First World War, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, after the Second too.
And they gave half of it to the Soviet Union as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It makes some sense for sure, but it's all under the guise of just stealing the technology. So it's my take on why the war.
Yeah,
restart.
I mean, but this shit is basically the same thing from, speaking of World War II, like the Squiff would have been just like, you know, a week later, like, yeah, you could just come work for NASA.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right? you take the smart ones for sure, right?
Yeah.
You can live in Argentina.
Yeah, it's so much closer, dude. Come on. It's sunny all the time.
I don't have a canon why the war restarts, but the Lore Boys canon is going to be, well, we need to free them up to build up more technology that we can then go and conquer again. So rather than bringing in the scientists who might then go on to talk to some of our citizens and try and spread this hippie bullshit, we'll just let them do it on their own terms, then go kill them again in a bit.
Constant war is great for the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love these guys are very. It is exactly. I would love for at some point in the, God willing, it has a good life cycle. I would love a proxy war system at some point in Helldivers 2, because obviously the primary government that this game is satirizing participates in a few less hot wars these days. But goddamn, getting other people's kids killed is so much cheaper than sending your own guys, man. So like a proxy war system might be neat if you can get like a robot character.
Yeah,
I know, or something,
not,
right?
Not a proxy war thing, but I played with two people who were French this morning, and I called in my machine gun instantly, so I was gonna pick it up and help them out, and the French guy took my machine gun. I killed both of them and wouldn't resummon them back. Took the machine gun, finished the mission myself, flew out with them dead.
Very good.
And then I gave them a good Quebec Tabarnak in the mic before leaving.
That's great.
Bastards.
Yeah.
So I have one last quote to end us off here. It's another quote from Dr. Hank Plug. And it goes, "The amount of technology we are going to receive will accelerate our technology tenfold and allow us to create peacekeeping devices that have the power to destroy entire planets."
I think there's a gun called Peacekeeper. I know in Apex Legends, I think in this game as well, they put a Peacekeeper.
I think so, yeah.
What's the second machine gun that has like a box mag and a higher rate of fire?
I really don't know the guns very well. Oh, that's the Stroger or something? Or this. I forget the names. I just know they make when they kill my enemies. The Stalwart.
Stalwart, that's it. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our episode about Helldivers lore. It's a fun game. Give it a try if it sounds like it's up your alley. Really fun multiplayer shenanigans, and I can almost guarantee you know somebody who plays it. I'm willing to just go out there and say you know somebody who plays it, because everybody seems to be fucking playing it.
If you join the discord.gg/loreboys, you can hop into games with folks like Chaz, folks like a bunch of people. I know Chaz is always looking for friends to play with, so just get the Discord if you're looking for someone to play with.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to play it, you don't want to buy it, you're not in a position to right now, then you can always watch somebody else play it. twitch.tv/loreboysjames. The Loreboy James.
No S, Loreboy James. But thank you. Huge thank you to Sideshow Commissar who made it rain this week.
What a madman. Yeah.
I paid back my webcam already, so thank you very much, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge shout out to everybody who's turning up for those streams. Pete, you have anything you want to talk about?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Comic's still going well. Setting that fake deadline for myself was very helpful. I've been working through a lot of shit.
You mean the one 14 days ago?
Or the what?
9 days ago? The fake deadline.
My fake deadline was 11 days ago.
11 days ago, okay.
Yeah, Valentine's. Okay, Valentine's Day. It was really good. Got a lot of work done. Again, it was a learning experience. I love the process. Maybe one day we'll do like a BTS episode about like me talking about this whole thing, because the whole thing was interesting to put together on your own. But anyway, yeah, Instagram's the... Keep going.
You said BTS. I instantly thought of K-pop. And I said, that can't be it. Then I thought of Back to School. I said, that can't be it. It took me way too long to realize you meant behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Okay, pardon me. Sorry about my Hollywood lingo.
usually promote and like ask for money for you guys. If you want to spend my money, come on Thursday. What is this Thursday so upcoming?
February 29th.
So the day after release, Thursday, February 29th, come to twitch.tv/loreboyjames, and we're going to spend my money and buy me stupid shit for my apartment.
Oh, like, right. Like, I want to come like over for that. Yeah.
Like a pug who's just saying, like, yo, what up, and wearing a gamer head, or don't even talk to me till I've had my gamers in the morning. All that fun stuff. We'll buy some stupid shit.
Yeah.
So Thursday. For
the spooky blank wall above Jamie's bed that his dog is passed the fuck out on right now.
Yeah.
We're going to get some cringe.
Hell yeah. If you guys like the show and want to support it, consider leaving us a review or telling your friends. It's the best way to help us make sure the show grows. Yeah. And we appreciate everyone who's done so already. If you want to support the show financially, you have a bit of extra cash lying around, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where we have a couple different tiers at different levels of affordability. If you're interested, so check it out.
Check what's all about. Check it out.
For anyone who doesn't trust Patreon, we of course have Loreboys Prime. We always have. If you want to check out our Loreboys Prime. We are of course offering some orientation sessions for newcomers to the Loreboys Prime. We will need you to come down to Loreboys HQ and attend some mandatory 12-hour orientation sessions with
it's in Lore City, Ohio, for the record. If you need directions, you can Google Maps it.
Bring your own bug oil for your lanterns.
Yeah, Saucy's working on the elevators, so you won't have to take any stairs. Don't worry about that. We wouldn't make free listeners of the Loreboys Nation take the stairs or anything like that. That'd just be un-American.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a 10-step program, but none of them are to get there. Don't worry.
Yeah, a 10-step program.
It's all ramps.
Don't worry, there's an elevator. Yeah.
We got a 10-step program. No, not like that. It's fine. No.
The building has a ramp. Like, oh, thank God.
The teacher shows up in one of those pods, and then elevators up in front of the class. Yeah.
The image in my head was just like my fifth grade English teacher's class, and with a hell pod coming straight through the ceiling, and then Miss Jones looking completely normal, rising out of it to teach us.
Absolutely. That's what we have here at Loreboys HQ.
Yeah. And that would cost you it. Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Miss Jones out.
Out.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.